This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Is butter a club?
I had a hunch you might be a real romantic.
We were decoys. He used us as bait. We procured for you.
We could have had a good life together. Fucking real good life. But you didn't want it, Ennis. So what we got now, you broke my mouth.
Outtakes here on Joy 94.9, the queerest film show in the universe. I've upgraded us, Gina.
Conrad, it is going to be even queerer tonight because you and I are in charge. We've kicked out, it's like Daniel.
The training wheels are finally off.
How long? My apprenticeship has been a year and a half.
You've done very well.
I think I've kind of owned my stripes now.
You've graduated.
I have.
Congratulations.
And we've even let Alan go for the night. It's just you and I.
We just thought, you know what? Why have three when, you know, two will do?
The two best will do.
They're going to kill us when they hear this.
That's okay. We can control the podcast because you're the podcast editor and I have that control too, and they'll never know.
That's true.
What a shame.
Always good to know. We've got a huge show this evening.
We've got a really important show, and one of the reasons it's really important is because one of the guests we're first going to start interviewing is someone who's really important to us here at Joy. Now, you know, some of the voices that we hear at Joy are our voices, of course. I mean, you tune in every 7 o'clock every Monday night to hear us. But some of the most important people we have at Joy, you might not hear their voices on air. And that's one true. Of the guests we've got is Tony Painter, who is a volunteer at Joy and a filmmaker for a film festival we are covering tonight.
We are. We're talking about TILDA, the Melbourne Trans and Gender Diverse Film Festival. It's back for its third year.
I think this is the third year.
It's really exciting. And I think their mission statement really sums up who they are and what they do. So their mission at TILDA is to showcase films that celebrate the stories and perspectives of the trans and gender diverse communities, to provide opportunities to trans and gender diverse filmmakers to challenge gender normativity and to celebrate diverse representations of gender. And it's such a weighty goal, but such a really important one, especially when we continue to talk about representation here on Outtakes.
And that's the thing. I mean, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and it was actually an amusing conversation because they're like, you know, this debate and this yes and no campaign, and they kind of paint us like we are this one kind of big queer thing without,
thing.
You know, this one rainbow big fat, you know, gay community with, and they actually thought we had a leader, which I had to correct them, we don't. But they forget to...
A few unofficial
leaders, but they forgot to kind of understand that within us we have diversity within our own diversity.
Yes.
But we all need to see ourselves represented on screen, and we need to see the diversity of our identities represented on screen.
Well, that's a really nice lead-in to our first guest. As you mentioned before, we have Tony Painter joining us. Tony is one of the contributors for TILDA Film Festival with a short film that is very personal. It's called The Emergence of Rainbow Tea. Welcome to Outtakes, Tony.
Welcome, Tony.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Excellent. So, Tony, first-time filmmaker, I'm assuming?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah. So tell us how you got involved with this wonderful film festival and how you became to be one of the stars.
Oh, I'm not sure that I'm going to rate myself as one of the stars.
You're featuring in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Take it.
You've given me a huge build-up that I'm not sure I really justify. Anyway, but getting back to your question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
TILDA ran a filmmaking workshop back in February. Mm-hmm. And it was free, and it was also up the road from where I live, which is near the Footscray Arts Centre,
right,
where TILDA is going to be held, mm-hmm, which you didn't mention.
We'll get to that, don't worry.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went along to that two-day workshop and discovered that there was really nothing that I didn't already know.
Right.
I'd sort of played around with films before.
So as in the storytelling concepts or the technology of it when you say
both.
Stuff?
Oh, okay. Both. Yeah. And I hadn't really done anything serious, but I thought, I always wanted Well, no, I didn't always want to, but let me get this straight first. I thought that perhaps I should write an autobiography.
Right.
People have always been telling me that I have an amazing life story and that it should be into print. And I've looked at that. I've tried it several times. Mm. Tried to start it several times.
Right.
And it just overwhelmed me.
Mm.
So I thought perhaps I can do a short film and squash 75 years into 11 minutes.
Oh,
and
God.
That's what I set out to do.
So it's a documentary, I think, is the best way for us. Conrad and I have both seen this film, so a documentary is probably the best way.
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Yeah. So, you know, squeezing something into 11 minutes. I mean, I've made a film of 10 minutes. I can tell you how difficult it is to squeeze quite an important story down that long. How long did it take you to make this film? To edit, I know that answer. That takes forever, the edit.
That took me, I suppose, about 3 months of fairly solid working on it. And it was a huge experience for me, and I'm glad I did it. And it'll probably mean that I'll go off and do something more later on. But, no, it was good. I honed my skills on video editing, graphics, and a little bit of photography, and also script writing, which was great.
Brilliant.
Because, you wrote, directed, and produced this little piece, didn't you?
That's right. I did everything except the voiceover.
Yes, who is another lovely voice from here at Joy, which is David.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah,
and he did a great job of the voiceover.
He really did.
We're loving having you in the studio with us, Tony, so much that you're going to come back after the break and tell us a little bit more about this wonderful documentary that you've done. You're listening to Outtakes here on Joy 94.9.
G'day, Steve. Are you okay, mate?
If a mate's struggling, these four steps could change their life. Ask, are you okay? Listen. Encourage action and check in. Find out more at areyouokay.org.au.
Joy is proud to support this community service message.
Get moving, Australia, and stride for stroke. Stroke attacks the brain of one Australian every 9 minutes. This November, you can make a big difference to thousands of Aussies just by slipping on your sneakers to walk, run, skip or stroll. Go solo or make up a team to raise funds for StrokeLine, helping thousands of stroke survivors and their families. It's free to join. Do it now at stride4stroke.org.au.
You're here with Outtakes here at Joy 94.9. You've got your favourite voices, Gina and Conrad.
Favourite.
Bringing you tonight's episode of Outtakes with a lovely guest who's already in the studio, Tony Painter, a well-loved person here at Joy, while we look at the Tilda Film Festival, which Tony has a film amongst it.
So Tony's film is called The Emergence of Rainbow Tea. And it's a really personal film, obviously. The description in the program guide says, childhood abuse, emotional burnout, recovery and transition lead the 75-year-old Melbourne trans filmmaker into a busy, authentic life as an LGBTI facilitator and advocate. I think that really does capture the film really well. And you mentioned it before, you cram a lot into the 11 minutes. Why was it so important for you to share your story using short film?
There are very few Australian trans films around. There are no older or elderly trans films around. And that was one of my objectives.
Mm-hmm.
The other was to probably save myself some effort. With support groups that I run, I tell my story a lot. And every time it's slightly different, I get easily distracted going through whatever I'm doing. And I thought the film would be a nice little way to introduce myself.
Here's some popcorn, this is me.
Exactly. That's the way it is. And I think it's very important for the trans community and particularly people that are currently questioning their gender or their gender identity to have facilities available or resources available that can help them get over the big initial hurdles.
Sure.
And that is getting over the attitude that we've all had that we're the only one.
Yeah.
We're different and we're the only one. And if you have some stories from people that have already taken the journey, it just eases the initial move into investigating exactly who you are and what you want to be. And
Tony, have you had the opportunity to share this with an audience yet, even close people in your amongst your friendship and peer group?
Oh, a number of people have saw it before it was as it was getting completed. Mm. I sort of wanted to make sure that I wasn't setting myself out on a limb, and I've got a bit of insecurity attached to it, and I thought, well, let's have somebody else have a look at it.
Mm-hmm. How was it? I know when I first showed a film, I wasn't watching the film, I was watching the audience. How was it watching people watch?
I was busily watching the film because I'm still trying to pick holes in it. That's what you get.
That's
what you get when you're a bit of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
There's always that thing. But actually, it has had its world premiere already.
Oh, okay.
It was a couple of weeks ago at the LGBTI Ageing and Aged Care Conference.
For seniors, yep.
Where I offered them the ability to show the film and also have a Q&A afterwards.
Great.
And we had a panel of two. And the girl that accompanied me was my original counsellor from Drummond Street.
Wow.
And she was quite happy to come along and support me if I needed support. I said to her before while we were setting all that up, I'll answer all the personal questions. You can answer any of the technical, psychological questions if they come up. I got a few questions. She didn't get any, so that was good.
To have backup, though.
Can I just say, that's a good tip for any new filmmaker premiering for the first time. An audience can be cruel. Take a counsellor with you. Like, I think that's just...
To have them right there.
Yeah, just to have them right there.
It's a great
But
idea.
What was some of the feedback you were getting? It's quite, and that's the thing, we're showing it. This film shows yourself. It's not showing, you know, somebody else's story or a non-fiction, you know, this is a non-fiction story.
Yeah, you can't
it's
get much more
revealing.
Personal than
yeah.
this. I was a little bit anxious about it, but actually a shortened version of the film actually was in the Sunshine Short Film Festival last month.
Yeah.
I got coerced into that by another member of Bent TV and Joy, who was running the festival. So I've actually seen it on the big Hoyts.
Fabulous.
Cinema.
Oh. You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very much cut-down version of mm-hmm. it. I basically took the hedge clippers to it because there was no... It was contracted so much already.
Right.
To sort of try and cut it down again, I just chopped chunks out of it. And, I got a good, very good reception from that. But it was an audience predominantly of school children and their parents.
Wow.
Because
wow.
The film festival had two segments,
mm-hmm.
and a secondary school level one and an open one. So
that's
I was
really,
in the open one.
That's really powerful, and that's such a great thing for you to be able to share.
Mm.
And I mentioned to you before we came on air, and you quite proudly admitted that you're a very out person, and you're really proud of your story. But was there any parts of what you were sharing that you were a little bit, you know, trepidatious about putting out there? Because it is very personal and very admirable what you've shared, I think.
No, I'm not nervous about the content of the film now. Mm-hmm. I've seen it so many times already. And doing the script, obviously there's certain issues that could have gone in there that I didn't put in there. Yeah.
You're happy with it?
There's a lot that's not in there.
Of course.
And I've sort of considered that the fact the audience is could be quite diverse.
Yes.
And could hopefully is mainstream as well. So I probably left out anything that might be controversial, although with the state of the nation of Australia at the moment, anything can be controversial.
Yeah, well, speaking of controversial, if you'd like to ask Tony a controversial question, you are more than welcome to SMS in on 0427JOY949 or email us on air@joy.org.au. As two people already have, Tony, very popular. Guys, I'm loving this episode, important topic. Great to hear Tony on air. Anonymous. Mm. Another one through. Tony Painter. Well, this sounds like somebody who knows you. Is a generous and inspiring teacher and elder in the true sense of the word from Catherine. Hashtag legend. I think that's you, not wow. Catherine. But Catherine's a bit of a legend. I know who Catherine is. From St Kilda.
Yes.
So please, message in. Amazing. Doesn't have to be controversial.
Yeah, yeah.
It could just be high.
Obviously not. One of the things that we're going to be exploring tonight in the festival is obviously doing a big part of this. But why do you think it's important for us to see transgender and gender diverse stories on the big screen, the small screen, or any screen for that matter?
Representation is important because every single person on this planet is different, mm-hmm. is unique. Some are more unique than others, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of stereotypes out there, and most of those stereotypes are very rigid, and they've been created for power and control,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's important that all the diverse variety, and there's hundreds, get the opportunity to show their themselves to the rest of the world, to break down those stereotypes, because a lot of those stereotypes are creating huge mental health issues, and trans people are not the only ones that have it. At the moment, fortunately for the trans community, I think we're getting a lot of publicity, and we're getting publicity about the fact that 40% of trans people have considered suicide.
Mm. Right.
And, for all the wrong reasons.
And that's much too high.
Oh, absolutely.
And also the fact that there are a lot of cases on worldwide anyway, not so much in Australia, where people, trans people, are being murdered just because they're trans and are different. And so for those reasons, I think it's important that we get as much coverage as possible.
Tony, I think you also mentioned another importance to your story is that of our elders, our LGBTI elders. And you know, looking at that message from Catherine, who is the director of Celebrate Ageing, she works tirelessly to promote the voices of our elders in our community, and it's not a voice we often see. But taking it to the other side, I was showing Conrad a clip before we came in. So from talking about our elders to our youngest trans people, I'm going to play a little clip here from something that was on the ABC, I think, the other week, from ABC Me, a little kind of behind-the-scenes clip from a child actor called Evie.
I played Hannah. I think she's a very bright and kind person. She doesn't really like to try new things. Hannah is a transgender girl. I'm transgender myself, so I think that matched pretty well. Hannah went to her junior school and she hadn't transitioned, and I think she was kind of relieved to have left and gone on to high school and come out as Hannah. Her bully comes to her school, and Hannah gets really freaked out. It'd be weird having another person that's not transgender play the role of a transgender person. I guess you'd have more experience if you were. I could relate to a lot. There were a lot of parts where I was like, oh, I've gone through that. Going to school as Hannah and going to school as how I am, like, the first day is always really scary and you meet new people and turns out really well. It was a really good experience. I hope that one day I'll be a full-time actress. I hope that people see that transgender people are normal people They have normal lives and normal families. Honestly, they're not that different to anyone else.
An amazing story there. And what a really beautiful message to hear that from a young person coming through as 12-year-old
well. 12-year-old trans actress.
Yeah, that's great. Such a great thing. That must make you feel a little bit excited for the future, Tony.
Oh, definitely. And, yeah, the younger generation still have it hard, but it's good to see the coverage. And I think it's good to for the trans people, trans community in general, to see stories where people are breaking out of the box and doing it successfully.
Well, you are an inspiration for many people, obviously, and I think your film is going to be really well received. I'm very excited for you. It's on Saturday, the 28th of October, from 3 p.m. at the Basement Theatre as part of the Tilda Film Festival. Check it out. And you're listening to us here on Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Hey, it's Mitchell Coombs here with my co-hosts
Aislinn Garnett
and Talisha Vesquio. We host a show on Joy called Not My Cup of Tea.
We've got 30 seconds to convince you to listen to our show, but we couldn't think of anything to say.
So rather than telling you what you can expect to hear, we're going to tell you what you will not hear on our show. No sport.
No heteronormative family-friendly banter.
Don't you hate it when the missus makes you go shopping?
And lastly, there will be no unrelatable content. None.
Apparently that's the key to good radio. You've got to be relatable.
That's Not My Cup of Tea, 10 p.m. Thursdays on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Takes on Joy 94.9, Tegan and Sierra there with Faint of Heart.
And go watch the film clip. It's the coolest thing ever.
Are we the Tegan and Sierra of Joy now?
We could be.
The Gina and Conrad of
Possibly.
Joy?
Possibly.
Why not?
We could.
Let's start a band. Another discussion we can have another time.
Totally.
In the meanwhile, we are talking about trans and gender diverse representation, and we're very lucky and fortunate to be joined in the studios with May and Louise from the Tilda Film Festival. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll be touching on a few different things. May is one of the programmers for the festival, and Louise is the festival director. It's a big job,
yes.
Obviously.
Yes,
she's the boss.
But as programmer, you get to watch a lot of films, a lot of films.
We had hundreds. I didn't get to see them all, but, yeah, there's lots. Yeah.
Can I ask how many submissions you received? Because I was seeing the tweets and social media calling for submissions earlier this year, I think from March and April, the call-out.
Do you want to go? We had about 300 on the list, I think, in the end. That's a mixture of submissions and sort of actively curated work that we find at other film festivals overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But, yeah, about 300 on that list that we had to get through.
Wow.
And how many did you have to watch,
May? I think my share was about 40.
Oh, that's a good share.
That's really good. I remember Lisa Daniels once famously said there are some things she can't unwatch when she used to do that for MQFF.
Indeed.
There are some things, you have to sit through it.
It's true. I mean, you know, sometimes you do sit through it, sometimes you have a cup of tea and do some other things while you're watching it.
Fold your laundry.
That's right. Yeah.
You send an email. Thanks for sending that through. Yep. Thank you.
So, out of watching, 300 films to choose from, how did you come to have this wonderful program? How did it make the cut?
Much time. I mean, when it comes to me, I get the shortlist, so I get like the cream of the crop,
right.
Which is about probably 50 films, maybe a bit less. So from that, we look at sort of representation, sort of diversity. What have we got? And, I mean, we actually tend to get a lot more documentaries than fiction films.
Right.
So any good fiction films tend to make it in, really, if it's a feature, absolutely.
And that comes down to the cost of filmmaking, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many things. The cost of filmmaking and also just, trans and gender diverse representation in general. I mean, it's very underrepresented in film, definitely in fiction film. And, you know, what people are going to invest in or whatnot. Yeah, I mean, that's changing, but really slowly. Yeah.
And what's the kind of criteria for a filmmaker in order to submit? Is it that they're telling these stories or they are themselves trans or gender diverse, or is it both?
It's both.
It's a bit of both.
Yeah. So we like to see work by trans and gender diverse people regardless of what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our criteria. So work
creating by the next filmmaker.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, we definitely don't want to pigeonhole trans and gender diverse filmmakers to only make work about trans and gender diverse topics.
Mm-hmm.
So at Tilda, one of our sort of selection criteria is that it's made by a trans or gender diverse person. Another is, you know, that it has trans and gender diverse characters at the centre of it.
Right.
Lots of other criteria, like it actively works to reduce stigma, it broadens the kind of story, it broadens the narratives and stories that we see about trans and gender diverse people that tend to be quite narrow in sort of mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. It's like your version of the Bechdel test.
Indeed.
Yeah. And it's a really important thing to have. I think we've talked a lot recently about things like quotas and positive discrimination, I guess, in lots of ways. And I think the reality is, you know, if you want to tell those stories, you need to sometimes make a path for them to come through, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is part of the reason why this year we had a filmmaking workshop.
Which Tony was a part of.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
See, and now Tony's got a film in the festival.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, it's excellent. Like, so in April we had this workshop and now we have five films from the participants that we're going to screen in a session, the workshop short session, which is on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Afternoon.
I mean, it's one of the things we really want to achieve is to have a representation from filmmakers in Victoria and Australia.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
That's wonderful.
And were all these participants first-time filmmakers, similar to Tony?
I mean, they had varying levels of sort of experience. Some of them came from different art practices and backgrounds. Others were just interested in telling their own stories. There was actually an array of backgrounds, and we had 13 people in the workshop and three made films.
Wow.
There's a few still in the works that didn't quite get it for this festival. We might get them next year.
Great.
Yeah, so if anyone's listening and is interested by that, then just follow us on our Facebook page, because that's where we put those announcements.
Yeah, we're definitely interested in doing more workshops next year.
Great.
And who have you got other filmmakers or somebody coming in to talk about story? Are you showing them technical stuff as well? Because it could be really scary to go,
definitely.
You know, there is so much technology now to making a film, which can be overwhelming, and it can go both ways depending on your skill sets.
Absolutely.
Some people are just natural storytellers and might need to find a crew or might need to find a tribe of people that can help them make a story.
Yeah,
is that
indeed? I mean,
where they can meet others to kind of do that?
Yeah, I mean, the other part of that workshop shorts is right beforehand. I think you're talking about the networking afternoon tea. So right beforehand, we're having an afternoon tea for trans and gender diverse folks and allies that are interested in filmmaking who want to meet each other. And we're trying to set up the possibility of people, sort of collaborating.
Absolutely. This sounds like a good opportune moment to do the advert, which is that Tilda is this Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday at Footscray Arts Centre.
That's right.
And our tickets are actually selling out. You were saying that we only got one ticket left.
We're about
not for the whole thing. Sorry, there's like a festival pass that gets you into everything.
Yeah, I saw today we've only got one festival pass left, so it's probably actually going to be gone by tomorrow.
So there's lots of other tickets for like individual sessions.
You can still get tickets for individual sessions, but yeah, festival pass, pretty much it's going to sell out tomorrow.
That's brilliant. That's kind of like the dream for any festival, right?
Yes. I mean, we'd love to sell out all the sessions as well, and there's still plenty of tickets left for most of the sessions, as far as I can remember.
And I think one of the things we've not mentioned yet is one of the things we really want to achieve is that the films we show are engaging and fun as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And so we've got some really cool things on. So Thursday night is the opening night. Mm-hmm. There is a party at the end of opening night.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, of course, there is another party.
And then Sunday, another small party. Our opening night film is a film called Derenyel.
Yes, tell us more.
Yeah, so it's a film from Turkey, and it's made by a trans filmmaker. I don't know his name.
I'm going to try Buski.
Oh, no. I had to ask my Turkish friend how to pronounce it.
Okay, so I'm just going to stop before I destroy the name.
Ruska Bushki.
Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah, so it's he's a trans filmmaker who's made a film about his trans friend, Şevval Kılıç, who's a trans sex worker and activist in Turkey. It's such a wonderful film. When I watch it, I'm like, this is opening night. It's joyful, it's celebratory, and it's about activism and resistance in Turkey around sort of LGBT issues. It's a really gorgeous film, quite experimental sometimes in terms of stylistics, but... I was like, this is like really upbeat and really gorgeous.
Caught your eye.
That's what you want.
Yeah. And that sounds, I think it is really nice to frame that and make that classification that you're wanting things to represent, you know, show that representation and show the different layers that we all are.
Definitely.
The good, the bad, and everything in between.
Yeah, we're definitely interested in the light and dark and everything in between.
Amazing.
Yep.
And what else can we look forward to
in the festival?
That's
opening night.
Yeah. It's opening night.
Are there still tickets for this?
Yes, there are a few tickets left. Yes.
Oh, a few tickets, and then you get to go to a party.
Then you get to go to a party.
All right.
What else is on our must-see list?
Especially fiction. You know, because fiction is really... I mean, I'm a fan of Doco, so I'll
this
naturally
is Doco.
Go
and the see. Opening night is
so
Doco.
That looks like Doco. But I'm fiction...
Sure.
Know, what have we got
We
there?
Should talk about popular education terror.
We should.
We definitely should.
Yeah. How fiction do you like your fiction?
Oh, comedy. Yes. And a bit of romance.
Okay, well, it's a musical, and it definitely is very funny.
There you go.
It's ticking all the boxes.
Yeah. So, I think you have to approach it in the right frame of mind, and a Saturday night is the good one.
Okay, with a party.
Have a little beverage before you come
Can
in.
Can you give us a little bit of context about what it's night. About?
Other than well, it features a rabbit.
It's a post-human rabbit.
Right.
So, it's a musical from Sweden.
Right.
And it's about...
It doesn't have ABBA, does it? No, it doesn't.
No, there's no ABBA.
We'll
but there
it.
Is some pop in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a mixture of pop, punk. So it's about a group of...
there's a rabbit.
A group of, like, rebels bucking the system, also singing and dancing along the way. It's about this group of sort of queer, trans people who form a gang to bring down the heteropatriarchy.
Love it.
The cis-sex heteropatriarchy. So Yeah, it's really weird and really fun.
It's got something to everyone.
What was that called?
I think you mean avant-garde.
Yeah. Can we? What was the name of it again?
It's called Popular Education Terror.
Popular Education Terror. Terror. Sorry.
That's right.
Rabbits, Rebels, Sweden, fun, musical.
Tick, tick, tick.
With party afterwards.
Yes.
Busting that.
Very excellent.
Love it. With party afterwards.
Totally.
Yes, what else have we got? So those two are international films.
Yep.
Homegrown artists. Who are our homegrown heroes that we can go out and see?
No worries. We actually find it quite hard to get a local work, especially features, but we do have a few shorts. In the youth shorts, the youth films program, we've got a great little short called Markers, which was actually made by... the youth in Cardonia Council here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So it's a great little short that's actually won some awards overseas.
Cool.
But it was made by this youth group, these young kids. So Markers, that's on the Sunday at midday in the youth films. We've also got a film called Coming Home, which is on Sunday as well, before... So Long Suburbia, so that's also on Sunday afternoon. That's, I'm not sure if it's where it's made, but it's definitely made in Australia.
Really?
We've got the workshop shorts, obviously. They're all made here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
What else have we got? Oh, we've also got an excellent program of music videos. So that's on the Sunday afternoon as well. So... we've got. Sorry, do you want to talk about this?
No,
sorry, I'm just talking.
So is this because music videos sometimes where people kind of learn the trade?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great idea that from one of our programmers, Mick. He just said one day, you know, there's all these amazing music videos made by trans and gender diverse people right here in Melbourne. There's actually a massive trans music scene here.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got a program of music videos from local trans and gender diverse musicians. And that's before the feature documentary Riot Acts, which is about trans and gender diverse musicians in the US and Canada.
Cool.
A really fantastic documentary that's on Sunday at 3:30. Yeah.
Sunday sounds busy.
It is. Saturday's also very busy.
Sunday's the best day to go to the movies, though, so you know what?
Yeah, true,
why not
true.
Cram it in?
Yeah.
Get that last festival
totally.
Pass and
excellent.
Make it worth it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Do it.
Excellent. One of the things that we mentioned before, and I think, you know, obviously I'm going to, I know that you're going to have quite a obvious answer, I guess, in some ways, but why is it so important for us to have transgender and gender diverse representation in film? Why is it important to see ourselves on the screen?
Oh my God, so many reasons. Mm. I mean, it's important not only to have representation, but to have, like, a diversity of representation, right? I mean, the problem is sort of historically and even sort of now that what we see is quite narrow. I mean, maybe May can speak to this a little.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I think one of the things that we're definitely trying to achieve is that it's trans people telling their own stories. Mm. And so I think that a cis director will portray that story in a very different way to someone who is trans. So that's definitely something we're trying to convey throughout the festival, is that there's a very diverse set of experiences that trans people have in the same way that all people have.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah, I think it's definitely something we're trying to achieve here.
I think you're proven as well that there are so many stories out there just waiting to be told. Why do you think that there is so much content around from the transgender and gender diverse community? Like, what is it that you think is this motivator to tell their stories?
Oh, I think everybody's motivated to tell their stories.
You'd be surprised. Not everyone.
I mean, I'm not really sure if I can answer that.
What's the common themes you hear from some of the people submitting their films?
Sure.
Well, yeah.
Sure. Mm. I mean, people are interested in telling their own stories to counteract the kind of narrow and false narratives that are already out there, really. I mean, that's the thing that really needs to change. Mm. That, because we do obviously watch a lot of films and we reject a lot of films, and we reject some of them because they are very stereotypical, they're very narrow, they're definitely from a, a cisgendered point of view in this kind of fetishizing, or, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, some of it is that, and some of it is very well-meaning, but it's kind of trans 101 stuff.
Okay.
It's like going...
Patronising.
Yeah, very... Yeah, so... I mean, I'm sure, like I said, they're well-meaning, but just a bit doll.
Yeah, but also like directed
and
at
don't
a
have rabbits.
Directed at a, directed at a non-trans and gender diverse audience.
Oh,
we find
okay.
a lot of work that's like this isn't for our community. It's
yes.
for non-trans and gender diverse people to understand trans. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we're not right. so interested in that sort of work.
Mm.
The sort of 101 mm. stuff. Yeah,
you know your audience, and yeah. Yeah, you know what they know. It was like when I, you know, first started, you know, when I was a teenager and wanting to see myself on screen. That was a very long time ago. But some of the films that, lesbian films that I was seeing, mm. after a while, I was like, I don't need to see myself come out all
exactly.
the time. I don't need to see that coming
yep.
of age story.
Yep.
Give me something else. Give me rabbits and a musical
yep.
and give me something silly. And let yeah, and that was me going, I need to see stories just made for me. That's why something like Go Fish was really important mm. for me, because it wasn't that story.
Absolutely.
It was made by a lesbian for lesbians to go and see with other lesbians. That's
yeah.
how
and it's just about
it.
Their lives. It wasn't about them coming
yeah,
out. It wasn't
no.
their coming of age or they're discovering their sexuality.
Exactly.
Yeah, same thing with sort of trans and gender diverse stories as well.
Yeah.
You do find a lot of the same stories about discovery, coming out, transitioning, da 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 da.
Mm. Yeah, and then some of them, I mean, being trans is just a facet of a character's
mm.
character.
Indeed.
It's not necessarily everything about that person.
Yeah, and that's important.
Mm.
And I think that's also important in terms of like widening the lens, you know, sort of widening the kinds of representations that we see. So, yeah, for instance, having a trans character that's just part of their character, that's not the whole story.
Mm.
I think that's really important.
Is there anywhere in mainstream storytelling that you think is doing a good job at trying to tell
sure.
diverse stories?
I mean, I think there's some good work on like television, like streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you find that streaming services are a lot more diverse in terms of their representation around gender than sort of free-to-air TV.
Mm.
I'm trying to remember the name of the
yeah, well,
show.
So, I mean, an obvious one is Orange is the New Black.
Orange, mm.
yeah,
with
Laverne
Cox.
One
yep.
of the films that we have in is Free Sesay, which is the one on headlining on Friday night. It's actually produced by Laverne Cox.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And Laverne is in it too. Yay!
Yeah. There's any Laverne Cox fans out there?
Hello.
And we all are.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Who isn't?
Line up. That's, I think what I was also trying to, I guess, stress there is a lot of the times people say, oh, this content is everywhere.
Mm.
You know, you can go online and get this. And,
sure.
But I think sometimes they forget that it is everywhere
sure.
and there is a lot of it.
Yep.
And it's really great when a festival like yours
yep.
helps pull it together
absolutely.
Into a way that we can absorb it.
But also some of the stuff that's in the program you won't see on a streaming service.
Sure.
Mm. You won't see Riot Act. You won't see Songlog but Suburbia. You won't see Popular Education Terror. Never. and Apricot Grove's our closing night film, which is a fiction film, which could actually have a place in the cinema here. And you know, I haven't seen it anywhere. I doubt that it's going to make its way around. So it's worthwhile seeing it at the festival.
Can I ask, we did, because the year before, the festival was extremely popular,
mm.
and there was a break last year. Was the break about sourcing content? Was it just trying to find the right content or train up new emerging artists?
Well, to be honest, it was the team taking a break, because
yeah.
this film festival is run entirely by volunteers, including
right.
myself.
We saw the list, yeah.
Yeah, we were really impressed with
yeah.
your support team on the festival. It was amazing.
Yeah, so everybody's a volunteer, including myself, and it's you know, it's a really big effort. Last year, we took a break. We did one screening of a film called Transgender Parents with Maribyrnong Council
mm-hmm.
And just took the time out to sort of... I came on board as the festival director at the end of last year.
Right.
So we did a changeover of directors and just, you know, taking some time out, coming back with a new team, yeah.
And you're supported by the Footscray Community Art Centre, is that right?
Yeah, we're a company in residence there, so we have a little
awesome.
Office and they've been really supportive of us. Yeah, they're sort of co-producing with us, yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And how did that come to be?
Well, I think they approached us, and it actually happened before I came into the role, and it was like just fell on my plate. Into the role, and it's like, okay, you got to have this one meeting and sign a contract, and then you get to go and have an office. I'm like, sweet. So all the work was done before I arrived, but I believe they reached out to us because they're very interested in supporting community groups mm. and supporting especially sort of emerging
yes, they really
organisations, which
right.
is what we are.
And cultural diversity as well with some of the storytellers I know doing writers groups there. It's,
yeah.
They're
amazing.
Fabulous. Absolutely.
They're doing
amazing.
Really amazing work over there.
So you're putting on a 4-day festival.
Yep.
How much work goes into preparing for those 4 days?
I cannot count the hours.
Yeah.
Literally, I have lost track.
Does it feel full-time sometimes?
It does when you have an actual job that pays as
yes.
well.
Yes.
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 Yeah, I mean, obviously it ramps up. So it's been getting pretty busy recently.
Yeah, it gets busier and busier as you get closer. Yeah, putting the program together was like a really big thing.
Yeah, because of course, I mean, like any film festival, there's cut-off times that you have to
Get the media files, make sure they work, all that sort of stuff.
Pay the money, get the films.
Indeed.
Yeah. All that good stuff.
And where do you source? Oh, I wanted to know just quickly, what are some of the festivals overseas you're sourcing from?
Sure. There's a festival in Amsterdam, which is sort of our sister festival. It's called Transcreen. So we've actually gotten a lot of advice from them in terms of when we were like putting the festival together. I'm not the person who does that part of the job. It's actually our programming lead, Anna, and she's actually in Amsterdam.
So Anna's got the card to go and travel with.
She's really got a finger on the pulse. Oh, but there's several film festivals in Europe and in North America. Yep.
Great. So are you one of a kind? Is this festival one of a kind here in Australasia?
There's one in Sydney.
All right.
It's called the Sydney Transgender International Film Festival. It's not a community-run festival, but it's been running in Sydney longer than us. I think it's a couple of years older than us.
Okay. Yeah.
And we also get a lot of support from them too.
I was going to say, there's enough room in the in the hood for everyone to support each other.
We we like to say we're better in Melbourne anyway.
Absolutely. I think our name is cooler.
I think it kind of is. I think it kind of is. Now, May, if there is one film that you can put your finger on, it's like asking you to choose a favourite child.
Which any good mother can do.
Exactly. What would you be pointing at? And I know you've seen about 40 of these.
Which is... In what context?
If you had a favourite film, a favourite doco that you want to... Someone's got 2 hours to spare on this weekend. What would you really want them to go and see? What would you want to make them reserve time for?
That's really difficult.
I know. It's a tricky one.
Everything.
Yeah.
Get that last especially the rabbits. Pass.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the Sister Girl Brother Boy session.
Please. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Maybe you
go for it.
I feel like I've talked the whole time.
That's us.
I think for me, the major highlight of this festival is actually the Sister Girl Brother Boy short session. Mm-hmm. It's, the documentaries. And we're going to have a panel afterwards, and we've got 4 festival guests coming from all around the country, people involved in the films, people in the films, and they're going to do a panel discussion after the screening. So that's on Saturday at midday, and we've got Brother Boy Taz Clay, Brother Boy Jeremy Anderson, Sister Girl Charlotte Cotard-Dare, and we've got a queer Aboriginal filmmaker, Andrea Fraser, and they're all coming from all over Australia down to Melbourne to Tilda to have a panel discussion with Maddie Clark after the shorts package. And actually Taz Clay made one of the films about himself. So it's a really excellent...
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun session. Because, again, if people have got an interest in the actual craft of filmmaking, they can speak to people who've done it.
Yeah, right, definitely.
That's brilliant. It sounds like one not to be missed, along with every other great thing in the festival. May and Louise, thank you so much for joining us here on Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're on Outtakes here on Joy 94.9, and we were just joined with May and Louise, who are part of the programming team. So that was Festival Director and Programming from the Tilda Festival, 4-day festival. It's their 3rd festival. There's going to be some great films that we just heard about that include Rebels and Rabbits and, and musical. And oh my God, I'm going to go to that one because it's got a party.
And I really just love the fact that they did say that, you know, it's not just about telling these really serious stories, the fun, the laughter, and also, you know, all the other great things that come with telling, sharing gender diverse and transgender stories. I think that's really important. Like you said, the festival's on from October 26th to 29. Tickets are selling really fast. So
there's one more festival pass left.
Just one. So
be the person to grab that.
Yeah.
Go, get it. Get on their website. It's so easy to find.
So the website is tildamelbourne.com, and they also said you can get tickets at footscrayart.com, and that's Tilda, T-I-L-D-E.
Well, that's the thing. Earlier we were speaking with Tony and the importance of also, you know, older representation of our LGBTI elders story and the diversity within those stories to be, you know, for Tony to be showcased at Tilda as well. But we also played a clip from the short film First Day, which stars a trans little actress, young Evie, who's 12 years old. And to hear it from her, the importance of her pretty much saying, I can't see how anyone else could have played this film, because I know what it's like to go into school feeling this way And the clip's actually longer, so I highly recommend people go on and have a look at that clip on ABC. And just Evie talking about the experience of making a short film about her life and telling her story.
And we've talked about this quite a bit on Outtakes, and we've got programs with Jake Graff.
Yes. A couple of weeks ago, we had our Transparent show where we're looking at season 4 of Transparent. Go back and check out that podcast.
Yes.
Very easy to do.
So joy.org.au/outtakes. All the podcasts are there. The person who does the podcast does an amazing job, and you should, which is me, and you should go and check them all out. We've done so many programs about so many things, but I think it's really important that we continue to shine the light on diverse storytelling. And it was such a pleasure to have Louise, May, and Tony talking about the Tilda Melbourne Film Festival. Make sure you put it in your diary for this coming weekend and check out the program at tildamelbourne.com. You've been listening to Conrad and Gina here on Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.